You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, I didn't think I was going in this direction, but here I go. I am disgusted with this country right now. I was just looking at a case that probably put me over the edge out of Chowchilla, California, of course, where they have sanctuary cities, and they released a man who had an ICE hold on him because, of course, they're sanctuary city. And this man was responsible for the death of a child a few years back. And they refused to hold him for ICE so that they could deport him.
Oh, he's an illegal alien.
He's an illegal alien and a child murderer. And you refuse to give this person to ICE so he can be deported. What are we thinking in this country? Who is it? Who are the people who think that this is a good idea?
Well, I'll tell you, I want to talk about this other subject that's related to what you're talking about. You know, we talk a little bit about COVID and things like that. But in Orange County, a judge ordered the sheriff there to release 1,800 inmates. All right. Violent. They're violent inmates because the sheriff has released everybody else. But that's what you're talking about. There is just such insanity here. And it's on so many levels. And it's all the way across the board in pretty much every area of society that you can name in the United States of America. And you and I, Linda, are not the only ones that are talking about just what the H has happened to the United States of America.
Well, exactly. And I'm not sure if you have the judge's name or the sheriff's name.
Well, I got them both.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. But I want to talk about that maybe a little bit later, unless you want to get into it right
now.
Let's
get into it.
Okay. Well, so in Orange County, and, we've had a business in Orange County, and we used to live in Orange County many, many years ago. Anyway, the new sheriff's name is Don Barnes. And so he's the sheriff, of course, and he runs the jail. The sheriff runs the jail in every county in the United States. And the judge is the Orange County Superior Court Judge Peter Wilson. And so what's going on right now in California, and I'm sure, you know, our friends and followers that pay attention to the news, watch television, listen to the radio, know that California right now with their COVID cases are really climbing. If it isn't the top state, it's one of the three top states in the United States. But the statistics as far as COVID in Orange County, in the public, is not any different than what's happening inside the jail. The difference between the jail, which is a controlled environment, and the public is that the sheriff, for risk management purposes, is testing everybody. So everybody in the jail, all the jail staff, the correctional deputies, the medical staff, the support staff, and all of the inmates are being tested. And the sheriff recently released 1,400 inmates that were nonviolent offenders.
Because okay. He was ordered to do so.
Well, incorrect.
He didn't just feel like releasing them.
No.
He was ordered to do so.
And what's going on also in Orange County, which is in their bizarre criminal justice system, which is not unlike some of these other major metropolitan areas, is they've got zero bail. So the police can go and arrest somebody and they can take them to jail and book them. But within 24 hours, they are released on zero bail, released on their own recognizance. Anyway, getting back to this, the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, filed a lawsuit against the sheriff claiming that this is cruel and unusual punishment, and that the sheriff is deliberately indifferent to the civil rights of these inmates by keeping them in a contained environment. And they submitted that lawsuit to the judge, and the judge, Judge Wilson, agreed. And so he's ordered the sheriff to get down to 50% parity. In other words, release 50% of your inmates. And so Sheriff Barnes says, "You're nuts. I'm not doing that. The only people that are left in my jail are violent offenders. And I'm not going to do it because our statistics, even with new COVID cases and during this last week, they found when they tested people, they found that they had 416 cases of COVID. But the vast majority of these people are testing asymptomatic. So in other words, it shows that they've got COVID antibodies in their system. Okay. And they are also asymptomatic. And so he said, look, the only people I have left in my jail are violent offenders. So you want to pick who you want to release back out into society?
Well, what about the civil rights of society? What about the civil rights of all of the people that these people will cause lifelong damage to once they're released? No, you want to go give them a vaccination tomorrow. I'm all for it. Give them a vaccination and keep them in jail. But we cannot be letting people out of jail to reoffend.
Well, you know what? That's an interesting thing, and nobody's brought that up. And now that we have the new vaccinations, how about vaccinating these prisoners, okay, to keep them inside the jail?
And then shut up about letting them out, because I don't want to hear it. And for a judge to do that, I mean, what an irresponsible person. He needs to be voted out, gotten out of office somehow.
Well, you know, let me say something else. On the sheriff's side, and by the way, the district attorney in Orange County, his name's Todd Spitzer. He absolutely agrees with the sheriff. And what they've done is they've tracked the inmates that they release. So when they released those 1,400 inmates, they found that the crime rate in Orange County went up three times.
Wow.
Three times as much as it was before they released those 1,400. What do you think the crime rate's going to go up to if they release 1,800 violent offenders?
Yeah, exactly. Just for public safety, which is our government's first responsibility to us, how do they even come up with a decision like that? You are putting the safety of those people over the safety of the public.
And like you started to say, the primary responsibility of politicians and our government is to what? Public safety.
Exactly.
Number one.
Exactly. And they are letting us down incredibly. And my rant really is, there's so many things in this country that have gone completely haywire, and that's one of them. And this Chowchilla ICE situation, where they will not hold a child murderer for ICE to get him out of the country. What are you even thinking? How do people's mind work that says that that's okay?
Well, you know, we've talked about doing a coffee conversation with one of these types of people. You know, I'd love to bring in a very liberal person, a very progressive person, and I'd like us to have a conversation, a civil conversation with that person to do exactly that, to try to figure out what the mindset is with these people. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm on social media quite frequently. And when I see a progressive making some sort of ridiculous statement, I very civilly and very professionally, I take them on. I challenge them. And I tell you that to a person, once you hit them with the facts, what they do is they either shut up or they go off of social media or they try to block you. Okay. They never respond respectfully. They have an emotional response instead of a studied, you know, response with facts and figures to break up what they say. But you know what, Linda, this has been going on now for years. And in that light, when you're talking about illegal aliens that have done crazy, murderous things and how the public has responded, I return you to the case of Kate Steinle in San Francisco, California, where this was a guy, and I don't remember his name, but I did a couple of stories on him, but he had been deported five different times. Basically, they couldn't prove it, but it was pretty much You could tell the evidence was there. He had broken into a federal officer's car and stolen that officer's semi-automatic pistol. Then he goes out to Pier 39 and he's shooting this gun. You know, he shouldn't even have a gun, right? But he's burglarized his car. He's got a gun. He's shooting the gun and he ends up shooting and killing Kate Steinle. They tried to prosecute him and the jury released him because they said it was an accident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And he turned around and sued the city.
And they settled.
Yeah.
And
they gave him money. He murdered this young lady, this innocent young lady.
Beautiful young, who was with her dad and died in her father's arms. And after that case, I have boycotted the city and the county of San Francisco since. And I think that case happened about 4 years ago. I have not been back to the city of San Francisco during that entire time, and I have no plans to go back to that city.
And if you go back, I'm not going with you. However, the fact that they capitulated and they gave this guy money is absolutely ridiculous. And they did not deport him. This is all over the country, though. I don't understand the mindset, Ron, of people that just let these people off. And now that Biden is going to be coming into office, we already have a 3 or 4-fold increase in people coming over our border. They are amassing at the border again because they see a free ride in America.
Yeah, I got
and by the way, they're bringing with them lots of COVID.
Well, you know, recently there was a story out about a large group of Hondurans that are coming up. And of course they got to make it up through Mexico and, you know, all of this. And, you know, speaking of COVID, you know, we just looked at the COVID stats in Mexico because we have had plans to go back to Mexico where we have a little place there. And we can't go because the COVID stats are so high throughout the country of Mexico and growing higher where we've got our place. But, you know, that's not the only thing because the COVID is all over the place. And our favorite place to return to where we go almost every single year is Florence, Italy. And we can't go to Florence because Italy is on lockdown right now.
Well, everybody in the world is pretty much on lockdown except for China. And China is interestingly COVID, I won't say COVID free, but they are pretty low on COVID considering the size of their country and considering that it's the kind of the epicenter of where COVID started, they don't have it. So I go back to what I said from the very beginning. I believe that this was put out intentionally. I believe that before they put it out, they had a vaccine or something to mitigate the COVID. And now their finances, their position in the world, their entire economy is better for having done what they did to the rest of the world than the rest of the world's economy.
Well, you notice that the Chinese now and the Russians have both got a vaccine. Okay. And they are going to try to bring their vaccine into the United States. And I hope the United States and the FDA will stop that from happening. Because I'll tell you what, unless you're a total lunatic, why would you want to take a vaccine that was produced by the same country, meaning China, that was produced by the same country that we believe, like you said, was the epicenter of the COVID pandemic in the first place. But I you know, want to talk with you more about where you think the United States is heading now. Because, you know, if I was to title this section of our conversation, you know, it would be reimagining the once United States, because there is no evidence that we are a united people anymore.
No. And the thing is, half of the people think so completely differently than the other half. It's not that we're on the same page about most things, although I think if people really got together and talked, they'd find that they are on the same page about most things and they differ on a few things, but we don't do that. We simply take our divisions and we expand those to be the overarching theme. So our divisions become the overarching theme rather than the things that we have in common.
You know, one of the biggest problems that I think we have in the United States is that we have this huge media propaganda machine.
Yes.
That exacerbates, makes things far worse. So I'm kind of with you, kind of common sense way I look at things. And I do believe that if you get Americans to sit down at a table and you talk things out and everybody is civil with each other, you will find that generally Americans agree on more things than they disagree.
Yes.
Okay. And they're actually willing to compromise on more things than people will think that they would. But what happens, I'm just going to give you my impression. What happens is that the media seizes on these themes and then they jack them up and they make things worse. The politicians watch the media. It's like the tail wagging the dog, and they watch, you know, they watch how the media responds and they jump on top of that to be woke. And that make things worse. Then when they come out with a worse statement, an emotionally driven statement, then the media grabs onto that statement and keeps pushing it out there again and again and again and again. And that hurts. Whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, a conservative, a progressive, it doesn't matter. It makes everything worse. And this is what's sending the United States of America into a tailspin.
Well, it's definitely a tailspin, and we definitely are divided. So the questions then become, how do we reunite? And to be honest with you, at this moment in time, especially with Joe Biden coming into office, who in my opinion is a chief divider, and Kamala Harris 10 times more so, I don't see how we come back to any semblance of being a United States of America. And that's really concerning, because if we are not united, that is how a country like ours falls. And we've spent a lot of years in our schools brainwashing our kids, and now we're paying the price for it. So now we have somebody coming into office who in no way is going to be a uniter, who is very progressive, who does not have the same values that I have, doesn't have the same values as the 74 million people that voted for President Trump.
Right. Well, you know, even his own people have categorized him as the Bernie Sanders is one of them, who's an avowed socialist, who says this is the Joe Biden is the most progressive president of the United States that we have had since Franklin Delano Roosevelt during World War II. How about I get you our first cup of coffee? Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Cold, wintry night, you got a nice hot cup of coffee.
I needed it.
So, you know, I just wanted to continue with our conversation about reimagining the once United States. And this whole election series of lawsuits, and I think most recently with a Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, filing against the different states, the four different states where we had election difficulties, and then 16 other states jumping on top of the Texas lawsuit, saying that, hey, basically the election was stolen. There was, you know, evidence of wholesale
fraud.
Yeah, sure. Systemic fraud. And of course, the United States Supreme Court refused to consider the case, saying, and, you know, and I had said this before, I said when we were first talking about Attorney General Paxton's lawsuit, I said, you know, one of the problems that I think we're going to have is the courts are probably going to look at Texas saying you don't have any standing to file this lawsuit to say that what's happened in these other states affects the great state of Texas. And the same thing with the other 16 states that jumped on board. But you and I were having and that's exactly what happened. Okay. They said, hey, we're not going to look at it because you don't have standing.
Well, and I disagree with that. And a lot of legal scholars also disagree with that.
You know, but you and I were having a conversation last night and you used an analogy. And I want you to discuss that analogy because it's so simple and it made so much sense to me.
Well, let's just take a situation. First of all, when you take a state like Texas or any state, whichever state would have initiated this lawsuit, to say that the other states are depriving that state of their rights and discounting their votes, I mean, that's absolutely accurate. So if you take a situation, let's just say the Mississippi River flows from the north of the United States all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, and it goes through a number of states.
And therefore it is considered to be a national river because transit, big ships with cargo go on that river.
And what I said was, what if somebody at the very beginning of the Mississippi River, what if they either built a dam or they put pollutants in the water that were extremely egregious and caused problems all the way downriver? So if they built a dam, nobody else could do their commerce on the river. It would affect people's water rights. Other states would then begin suing for their rights back. Because they were harmed. And what is the difference when people in this country who voted in a fair and legal way, when their votes become discounted for the president of the United States, a federal office, because other states completely changed their rules, didn't check signatures, they did all kinds of gamesmanship, and now they've also found out, and a report has come out, that these machines the Dominion machines are actually prone to errors and fraud.
But deliberately engineered.
Yes.
To make errors. That's the key word for me. Deliberately engineered to take votes away from President Trump and to give them to Joe Biden. And they have the forensic evidence in doing an independent audit of these machines.
Yes. So how is it that 74 million people do not have their rights count? In all of these court cases, how do you say over and over and over that these things don't matter? There's not fraud in one way in this election. There's fraud in so many ways that we've talked about in our discussions over and over. And I don't want to go through all of the different ways, but every way that you can imagine that there was fraud in this election, there was fraud. And in some places it was wholesale fraud, and in some places it was retail fraud or smaller amounts of fraud, but it happened in all these places.
So let me work off your analogy, because I really like that whole Mississippi River thing. So let's just pretend that the four states that Texas and the 16 other states filed a lawsuit against in the United States Supreme Court, let's pretend that they were the dam builders. Okay, so they built the dam up above the river. And so that denied all of the states their commerce. And because ships that come up and down the Mississippi River carry products that not only affect the states that adjoin the river, but throughout the United States, they are all affected in some way, shape, or form. And I think that's what Texas and the other states were saying. Listen, the way that you ran your elections defrauded us and took our votes away from us. And because it's a federal election, it's about federal policies that are set by the President of the United States and, you know, his cabinet and his people that affect all of us. And so now when you allowed Joe, because of the fraud, systemic fraud, you allowed Joe Biden and his administration to come in, that is going to negatively impact all of us. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And why was no court willing to give us, the 74 million people that voted for President Trump, our day in court to say, hey, let's look at all the signatures. Let's look at all of those mail-in ballots to see how many were from dead people, how many were from people that voted more than once. There was a good number that voted more than once. How about the votes that came in that were more than the voters that were in that county? How about those votes? How about the machines that, and the people, not just the machines, they didn't do it arbitrarily. People who put votes in multiple times for Joe Biden, who ran votes through that were Biden votes multiple times in the machines. These votes need to be counted, and they need to be, the signatures need to be authorized. The fact that they are actual legal voters needs to be authorized. The fact that they are living in that community needs to be authorized. We, as citizens, Ron, every one of us in the country are entitled to that. The fact that no court gave us that is beyond frustrating.
Okay, so let me take a turn and go back full circle using, okay, because we've had a good discussion in regards to making an argument that the election was rigged, you know, there was systemic fraud in the elections. Okay, so here's what we're seeing in social media now. Besides just the classic, you know, get over it, nothing to see here, right? Okay,
right.
So I want to move past that for a minute. I want to look at the larger picture, which is sort of my theme about reimagining the once United States. And here's the point that I want to make, and I'd like to have a discussion about that. Okay, fine. You know, the lawsuits were lost. President Trump, I think, any person with common sense right now is going to realize that the cards are stacked against him. The courts are stacked against the President of the United States. He's going to be the outgoing President of the United States. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are coming in as the President and the VP of the United States. Joe Biden, as you say, and worse for Kamala Harris, are not uniters, they're dividers. They are never going to unite these people, our American public. They are never going to do that. And it is only going to get worse when you see the cabinet that Joe Biden, the people in the cabinet that Joe Biden is selecting, when you still have 74 million disenfranchised Americans, no matter, okay, fine, you know, give the court its due and Trump is out. That speaks to nothing about uniting our states.
No, and we will never trust our election system again. And now Hillary Clinton, by the way, is calling to get rid of the Electoral College. So if we lose the election, which I wouldn't trust anyway, in Georgia for the two senators, you know, they're going to have free reign to do all kinds of things to see that we are never in office again as conservatives. So where does that leave the 74 million people, half of this country? Actually, I would venture to say more than half of this country, because really the conservative part is probably three quarters of the country, and the left and right coast are the liberal parts. How would we ever come together when the first thing that's on Joe Biden's agenda is to give illegals pass to citizenships, to open the borders, to change what President Trump did for religious freedom and say that that's wrong, to take God out of everything? This is not the values of half of America. Unfortunately, it seems to be the values of the other half of America. So I don't see a way that we 74 million people are going to just sit back and say, well, this is okay with us. That's not going to happen. So the divide will only get deeper and wider. And then what do we do with that? Do we actually split our country in two?
Well, you know, it's such an interesting problem that we have, and we're going to have. I'm with you. And you know what? I'm a patriot. I love this country. I bleed red, white, and blue. But I'm also a student of history. And I used to be a history teacher many years ago. And you know what they say, those who ignore history or forget mm-hmm. history are going to repeat it. And this is what's happening right now. And so people forget about the Civil War. Okay, and I don't care if you believe in secession or you don't believe in secession and creating two different countries or whatever. It is what it is. And people are so ignorant of our United States history and our civics because they don't teach it anymore. They teach revisionist history. If you go back to the Civil War, and you know, it was interesting, I just came back from the Deep South and I was in Georgia. And believe me, that where I was is the Deep South. And I will tell you, I did not see one single Biden-Harris sign. I did not see one single sign for the two Senate candidates who are Democratic Senate candidates in all my travels through Georgia. I did not see it. Now, I will say that I wasn't in Atlanta or one of these major events, but I was, you know, I was in Savannah, I was in Statesboro, I was in, you know, a few cities. I didn't see one single sign. But people forget that when the Southern states first seceded from the Union, people are led to believe that was because of slavery. Slavery was an issue, but it was not a major issue. There were other things that affected the people of the South, the agricultural South versus the industrial North. Okay. And it was those things and how the Southerners felt disenfranchised in the United States at that time that created the secessionist movement that led to the Civil War. Yes, slavery was part of it. It was not a major component for the reasons of secession. If you take a look at what is happening now, you've got 17 states that are not in agreement with what is happening in the so-called United States. You got 74 million people that believe that they were disenfranchised, that they believe that President Trump is their president and Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. You can argue all day long if you are a Biden supporter or a progressive about the legitimacy of Biden's election. The fact of the matter is Americans are divided and they will not become reunited in the foreseeable future.
No, and there is nothing that anybody, any Biden supporter could say to me or to probably 74 million other people that will make us believe differently. You can say all you want that Joe Biden won. I don't believe it, and I will never believe it. Unless you go back and look physically at every single vote and show me that they are a legal voter, that the signature is there, that the signature matches, and all of the assurances that we deserve as Americans, then there's no way that we can ever believe that this election was a true and fair election.
You know, once I'm going to use a very good remark that stayed with me my whole life. I was in a supervisor administrator course, you know, learning how to be a leader. Okay. And the person that was the lecturer told all of us that were in the room that who were ready to be supervisors, ready to be administrators, ready to be leaders. And he said to us, y'all have to remember this. If you don't have the trust of the people, if you don't have the confidence of the people that are working for you, you will never be an effective leader. And that's a truism. So, you know, Biden and Harris can come up with all the, you know, fancy political rhetoric about, you know, well, we're going to be uniters, not dividers. We're going to be leaders. We're going to, Biden is off to say, I'm going to be the president of all Americans. That on its face is false, because you've got already 74 million Americans that did not vote for you and do not believe in you and do not believe in your administration. Further, you've got progressives that are angry because you didn't go far enough to the left, and they're going to work to undercut your administration. People like AOC, you know, the squad, all of those people are not going to be in the favor of Joe Biden. They are not going to support his administration. Bernie Sanders and all of his people who were disenfranchised during the election by Joe Biden, it's doubtful whether they're going to support his administration. Okay.
Well, and Black Lives Matter is coming out against Joe Biden because Joe Biden didn't give them whatever they wanted.
Exactly.
So listen, this is going to be a big mess. And it still begs a few questions, which after we have another cup of coffee, I want to discuss.
All right.
My fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, I'm coffeeed up again. My original question, Ron, was what kind of people have these thoughts in our government and without side of our government? What kind of people have these thoughts that it's okay to have zero bail, that it's okay to release people from prison, that it's okay to have illegal immigrants pouring over our border, that it's okay to want to take God out of everything. One of the plans, like I said before, in the Biden administration is to make things much more secular and to take God's name out of virtually anything that they talk about, and to have secular people at all events that we normally would have religious people at.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I think what I see is that many of these people are secular progressives, and they don't believe, they firmly don't believe that God has a place in government, and that's pretty much it. So this is why, and believe me, like I said, this has taken several generations. It's taken 40 or 50 years for secular people to get entrenched in our municipal, you know, our local, our state, and our federal government. And this is why we have such changes in education. This is why we have these policy changes. This is how we have these new rules and regulations and these new beliefs. And I'm telling you, these things are putting a stranglehold on the United States economy. It's creating more oppressive government. It's creating a nanny state. And ultimately, it is the antithesis of a republic and capitalism.
Yeah. And that's the problem. So are we going to be heading to a place where we divide our country? And, you know, part of that sounds really good to me, because I want to live in the country that has school choice, that has freedom of religion, that has capitalism. I want to live in that country, that the government is less, not more. But if we divide our country, then that's going to cause all kinds of other world issues.
Well, some of the problems to me surround the different political ideologies. So you've got socialism and Marxism versus capitalism. But the people that are the socialists and the Marxists, which are generally the progressives, they, instead of looking at a model, at a government model, at an economic model, like we see in the former Soviet Union, like we see in Cuba, like we see in Venezuela, like we see in the former Colombia when it was a socialist country. We see all these Panama, all these different places where we've had socialism and Marxism, North Korea, for God's sakes. When we take a look at these different places that have these failed economies and they are just descended into third world cesspools, these people don't look at that way. They deny that. And then they say, but we can make it better. We've got ideas that can make it better. We can bring that idea to the United States and make it better. And socialism, Stalinism, Marxism, Maoism is all about class warfare. You've got, you know, the rich elite, and then you've got the people on the ground, right? The unwashed masses. And they say, we don't like that. We want everybody to be equal. And so altruistically and idealistically, wow, what a great idea that is, that everybody is equal. There's no more rich or poor. Everybody is served. Everybody, you know, goes to school. Everybody has medical insurance. Everybody has all that. But in reality, and this is what you see here, and this is what you see in those other governments, you've got the rich oligarchs and the dictators. You've got no middle class. You've got no business class, and you've got the unwashed masses. And that's the way it really is. And that's what's happening right now in the United States.
Well,
wouldn't you agree?
Yes. And you look at Obama, you look at Gavin Newsom, you look at Nancy Pelosi. Tell me that they think that they are equal with, as you call them, the unwashed masses. No, they don't think that they're equal. They don't think that everybody's equal, not by any stretch. And the founders of our country had a better idea. And the founders of our country created a better vision. And as Ronald Reagan would say, that shining
city on the hill,
that is what was created. And they are doing everything that they can to destroy it and take it away from us and make us a Venezuela.
Well, and I think a great example of what's going on right now in the United States is this whole politicization of COVID and what is happening. So if you take a look, and you mentioned the right actors, you know, the Pelosi's, the Schumer's, the Gavin Newsom's, you know, the governor up in Minnesota, you know, that bonehead, you know, people like that. And what are they doing? They are the rich elite oligarchs, and they are killing businesses. They are killing restaurants. You know, the de Blasio's, the Cuomo's, they are multi-millionaires, and they have everything that they need, and they're in political power because guess what? Idiots put them in political power, and now they are destroying businesses. There's what did they say? 110,000 businesses have been permanently destroyed by the COVID pandemic, the way they politicized it. They're closing the bars. They're closing famous restaurants that have been open for generations, over 100 years in a couple of cases, and they don't care.
No, even in our small town, there are stores empty that have never been empty. And that's just it. They don't care. And they continue this. And Nancy Pelosi continues to hold up the stimulus for small businesses as during the holidays, they are just dying by the wayside. And there's no help to be had from our government, from our selfish, self-centered politicians who want to give the blue states help with their budgets that they overspent, that they misspent, that they abused. And their goal is to help the states and not the people in those states.
And Nancy Pelosi has all but admitted, and Bernie Sanders has basically admitted the same thing with regards to Pelosi. She deliberately has been holding back the PPP money, the stimulus money, because she just wants a couple of extra things, which are absolutely stupid. And also, she did not want President Trump to get credit for reopening America again.
But she still is not doing it. And even though now, according to her, we have a new president, she still is holding it up. And people every single day are reaching that point of no return where they are out of business and they cannot come back. This is so unfair to America.
And you know, Linda, it goes right back to our previous conversation in my theme about reimagining the once United States. Once you've destroyed these lives, these businesses, the people that used to work for the businesses, the people that have worked all their lives generationally to keep their businesses open. And once you've destroyed their lives, they are never going to believe in you. They are never going to follow you. They will eternally be disenfranchised, and they will be looking at a different form of government. Now, I'm going to say one thing. You can already see this happening when people are fleeing the state of California. You see it on a higher level. You see the Oracles, you see the Teslas, you see the Hewlett Packards, you see thousands of businesses, both large corporations and small, and you see tens of thousands of people fleeing the state of California. Those are the people that feel disenfranchised one way or another, and they are leaving that governmental model and they're moving to a better governmental and economic model. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, but here's what's going to happen. People are going to be seeing all the things that you just said, and they're going to want to vote differently, I believe, in the next election. However, if we do not hold the Senate and they make the changes to make Washington, D.C. a state, if they make Puerto Rico a state, if they stack the Supreme Court,
if they let illegal aliens into the country and give them voting rights and give them amnesty and a path to citizenship,
we will never be able to overcome that. So they know what we know. They know that people are going to want to go back to a Trump kind of government, and they're not going to let that happen in any which way. We are at a turning point in this country that I had hoped we would never get to. And if we don't hold those two seats in Georgia, we are going to be in just really big trouble as a country. And it will leave us no option but to look to divide.
Did you ever think, in all the years that you and I have been around and politically active as adults, did you ever think that this would boil down essentially to the state of Georgia, or a small state like Georgia, ending up being the savior or the straw that broke the camel's back? Did you ever think that in your wildest imagination, did you ever think that it would come down to that?
No, and I'm sure that most people didn't. And I also don't believe that it should be down to that, because I don't believe that Joe Biden won the presidency, and will never believe it, along with 74 million other people. And by the way, stats show that the majority of people in the country do not feel that we had a fair and free election.
Okay. And I know that. But, you know, in my mind, I need to put that to rest, because I think it's a done deal. And I hate to say that, because I like to think of myself as, you know, more optimistic by far than pessimistic. But I don't think the people in the United States, and I think the Republicans, have finally just like woken up within the last, you know, 3 or 4 months, once they realize this whole thing could go down to Georgia. But the fact of the matter is, if those two Senate seats go Democratic, and all of the other things, the cascading problems that the Biden administration is going to bring in a Democratic-controlled Senate and a Congress is going to bring in, with the President and Vice President of the United States, who are also progressive Democrats, that cascading, what do you ever want to call it, line of dominoes or whatever, is really inexorably going to lead to the demise of the United States as we know it. And that returns me back to my theme about may very well have to reimagine a new system of government outside of what we have historically referred to as the United States of America.
Well, we already have three states that are looking at portions of their states, all our portions, seceding from wherever they are. So you have Oregon, and you have parts of California,
Northern California, above Sacramento.
And you have Texas, who now is looking at secession as an option, which they've not done for quite a while.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to correct you a little bit.
Okay.
There have been people historically in the state of Texas that have talked about Texas should consider secession. Texas should consider secession. But that's not what we're hearing from our wonderful governor, Greg Abbott. We're not hearing that from our governor. However, and I'm not an attorney, right? I'm not a constitutional law person, but my understanding of the Republic of Texas, it is different than all of the other states in the United States because it is a true republic. And if it wanted to succeed, it could secede. But, you know, those are for people that have got a different skill set than mine to discuss that. But even the idea, Linda, here's my point. Even the idea that people would talk about leaving the United States of America, whether it's Texas or whether it's the 17 states that feel so disenfranchised from the rest of the United States, that in and of itself is a serious problem, but one that really needs to be discussed moving forward. And don't misunderstand Dr. Ron. I'm not a person that is talking about, yeah, we need to secede. We need to break away from the United States of America. I am saying that the problem is that people are beginning to seriously consider that, where before it was just sort of coffee and barroom talk. Now people are starting to say, and politicians are starting to say, hey, that may not be such a bad idea.
Well, something to think about. Hey, I want to talk about America Out Loud for just a moment and how you can listen to Dr. Ron and Linda. We are on weeknights, 8 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time. And we look forward to having you join us for coffee. And if you miss us, you can listen to us on any of your favorite
social media podcast outlets.
Yeah, but that's what I wanted to say. Like Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we are there.
And if you're thinking about presents, because we're getting towards presents time, then please consider my couple of books that I've got out there. I've got a brand new Wade Justice Texas Ranger fictional detective series, which is getting great reviews. First two books are out. Absolute Justice kicks it off, and Justice for All is out of a Tom Clancy thriller in Italy. And then don't forget my already best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Get up there on the America Out Loud bookstore. Look for those books or just Google it on Amazon. And we look forward to another coffee conversation.